Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
And Zelna Lawrence is in front of me. Good morning, Zelna.
Hello, Lee. Lovely to be back.
Yeah, nice to see you again. And we're talking today about sibling rivalry. Zelna, you're a children's life coach. So before we go into the sibling rivalry, just explain again what a children's life coach does.
Okay, so at the heart of what I do as a kids' life coach is the very simple idea of putting harmony into family life, if you want to put it into context of what we're doing today.
Excellent. Set the bar high, Zelna.
Yes, harmony in family life.
Well, my family life will be transformed after this.
You're giving me 15 minutes. You're a tough customer.
I am. Well, we've said this might run over into your next appearance on the show, because it is a big subject.
It is, yes.
So sibling rivalry, I think we all know what it means, but it does express itself in different ways. It's not necessarily fisticuffs, is it?
Not necessarily. Every child will express it in different ways. Some children explode and others implode, so they'll withdraw and become silent. I think what I'd love to do is just start off by addressing the fact that that label, sibling rivalry, in itself equates to negativity, doesn't it? It brings up images of children fighting, whereas actually it's quite a natural part of growing up. And that's what I'd like to tap into today when we speak, to say, you know, it's okay, parents. This is all part of family life, but it's how you channel it and it's what you do
yes,
with it.
Well, it might be natural, but it can bring a lot of negativity into a house, and it can be exhausting.
Of course it can, yes.
For the children and for the parents.
You know, Lee, relationships are complex as it stands, and when rivalry comes into play, it's usually because there's a need that's not being met. So to have success, sibling success, it's about meeting every individual child's needs. And as a parent, sometimes you don't know what those needs are.
Yes, and sometimes the child doesn't know either.
They don't know either. So the easiest way to facilitate is to give young people from a very young age the ability to be able to communicate their needs effectively and to tap into their emotions. So I'd love to later on give parents three ways that you can actually do this with young children, older children, with your spouse if you need to, but it definitely does work when it comes to resolving conflict.
Oh, well, let's go straight to them.
Oh, you want to go straight to them, do you? Or you want to get stuck in?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, with any conflict, it's all about strategy. It's all about looking at techniques. And if we can give young people the techniques to be able to solve problems for themselves, because very often with sibling rivalry, and I'm doing what air quotes, sibling rivalry, the parent feels the need to solve the problem. So there's one technique that you can use. We call it the sandwich technique. So my global network of coaches and I, we coach children to learn how to communicate their needs, because all bad behavior and all fighting is a sign of an unmet need. I'm not being heard. I'm not being acknowledged. So the sandwich technique is quite simple. Your first slice of bread is I feel. Your filling is, what is it that you're feeling right now? I feel frustrated because you took my favorite stuffed animal. And then the next slice of bread that makes the sandwich intact, what I would prefer is if you, and then give a solution. Rather ask me before you take my stuffed animal. So you're giving a way of communicating, and you just remind children. So when they are in a conflict situation, you say, right, have you sandwiched that? So it becomes a lingo in your family. And it doesn't have to be a sandwich. It can be a hot dog, whatever you choose. But have you sandwiched that? What are you doing to communicate your needs? Have you tried? Because very often what happens is the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that drives our emotions, it hijacks you. So your prefrontal cortex, which is the processing part where you can reason and problem solve, it doesn't operate. When you're in that mode, nothing works. So the second tool, the sandwich technique, works if you're calm, right? So the second tool is the stop, leave and breathe. And I know it sounds really basic, but very often conflict spirals out of control when our emotions are hijacked. So it's about knowing the signals in your body and knowing when that's happening, removing yourself from a situation to breathe. And with younger children, what's really helpful is having what I like to call a thinking space. It's not a naughty step or anything like that. It's a space they choose in the home where the other sibling is not allowed to go. So they have different spaces in different parts of the home they get to say, I need to go to my thinking space, I need time out. So it's about coaching children to know when they need that time out, to read the signals in their body and to know when their amygdala is hijacking them and they're going to say stupid things or hit or lash out or break things. So those are, in a nutshell, the three things that parents can really easily implement in their home.
So there's the sandwich.
Sandwich technique. There's the stop, leave and breathe. And then the thinking space. So taking yourself off to the thinking space, wherever that may be. And every family member, even the parents, need to have a thinking space. And when you're in that space, everybody has to recognize that that's your sacred space. And when you're there, nobody can come in there. That's when you need your bubble of time to just regroup, take yourself back into your thinking space and tap into the cognitive brain and calm yourself down. And what I do as a kids' life coach is I give children techniques on how to calm themselves down in that thinking space as well.
So in the scenario, it's not always as straightforward as, you know, you took my cuddly toys.
No.
Sometimes it's, you know, you interrupted me or you're always saying that. So in that scenario where it might be more subtle, do you get both the children to say what they, to sandwich it, basically?
Absolutely, yes. The one thing I want to caution parents against doing is acting as judge and jury. You are a referee, really, like standing on a football pitch, and your job is to acknowledge both sides of the story. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. It's not your space to judge that. It's up to the young people to figure it out for themselves. Very often when parents step in and try and figure it out, or perhaps put more emphasis on the eldest taking more responsibility, or who started this fight, who started this, and focusing on that, that in itself breeds rivalry. So it's a very fine line between managing the emotions in the family. But once you have the tools and the techniques to manage those emotions, you'll start understanding each other better as well.
It's a very fine line, isn't it? Because it can escalate really quickly from something so trivial.
Yes, and that's really a physiological response. That's our brain's survival mechanism, because we're being threatened and the brain is primed to protect us against threat. So that's why it spirals out of control, because if you don't know how to bring it back in, and I mean us as adults, we spiral out of control, we get cross in the traffic or wherever. So it's about really coaching and training the brain to rein itself back in and to measure your words. Another activity we do with children in our coaching sessions is we take a toothbrush and we squeeze a blob of toothpaste onto it, and we tell them that's like our words. And we then say to them, take that toothpaste and put it back inside the tube. And they try with all their might to put it back in. And they say, yes, I've got it back in. And then you can still smell the toothpaste on the toothbrush. And that's like our words, right? Once they're out, they're out. You can't get them back in. And so it's about becoming aware of the words that we use. And that takes practice. And it's going to be practice for our lives, because conflict is a natural part of our everyday existence.
And is that good in some way, that children are learning? This is me trying to see the silver lining here, that children are learning to deal with conflict. I mean, I'm an only child, so I never had that day-to-day conflict that I see my children having. And that means that I'm actually very scared of conflict now. Whereas my children, they have umpteen, you know, bouts of conflict in a day, and they recover and they ready themselves for the next.
It sounds to me like you more traumatised than your girls, Lee. You know, it is a natural part of life, and the safest place to deal with conflict is within the home. That is where children learn to deal with conflict, is with their siblings, with their parents. And if it can't happen in the home, it's not going to happen outside of the home. So what your girls are doing is pretty healthy from the sounds of things. It might be giving you a few grey hairs, but it is really about you stepping back and allowing them the opportunity to flex their muscles, because I can guarantee you, as hard as they might argue, I can tell that they love each other.
Oh, I'm glad you kept.
I said that on air.
Because it is really hard. As the parent, you are sucked into it, aren't you? And each child believes that you're on the side of the other one.
Well, you know, as a parent, why do you think that is, Lee? I'm going to interview you. I mean, the child thinks that the parent is taking sides because their needs are not being met and they feel like they're not being heard. So as a parent, it's about really remaining neutral, but in such a way where each child is acknowledged. You know, if I take that one step further, sometimes when there's conflict that arises over and over again around the same scenarios, that's telling you a story. And it's about sitting around a table and having a family meeting and going, right, what is the story telling us? What is it we need to change, adapt? What am I not hearing as a parent? Talk to me. And, you know, that's a really healthy way of dealing with conflict, because if it's happening over and over again, then what is it that needs to happen to prevent that?
Is there any value in just saying, do you know what? Leave you to it. You sort it out.
Absolutely, yes. The younger the child is and able to sort out their problems, the better it is. So I'm going to say this at the risk of sounding brutal, but if there's no blood, try and let them sort it out themselves. And, you know, you will be there as mediator. It doesn't mean you're neglecting, because you will have a listening ear and you will be on hand, especially with younger children. Because with younger children, I'm talking about around about the age of 5, 6, 7, where there's a younger sibling that comes into play, and say that the child is playing with their Lego and the younger sibling who's 3 might come in and break up their Lego, and the 6 or 7-year-old grabs him by the neck and shakes him around and gets all angry. Of course, there's different levels of involvement depending on the age of the child, but the more you can stand back and allow the child to flex their problem-solving muscles and be creative in the way they communicate their needs and get them met, the better it becomes. And the great thing is we have a workshop called Sibling Success, and we actually run the workshops with siblings in it, so it's a group coaching program. And is, you know, when they start understanding how communication works, why they get angry, how their brain works, then they start going, oh, okay, I know why I let loose. I haven't listened. I am seeing the world through my own spectacles. I'm not acknowledging everybody else in the family. So it's really about opening the lines of communication.
And will it ever stop? I mean, I suppose, you know, when we think as adults, we know siblings who still niggle each other. We know siblings who get along famously.
Now, I can tell that you want me to say it is going to stop.
Yes.
But it is never going to stop, okay? But I want to reframe the sibling rivalry. It's called sibling success. Every sibling is going to have disagreements at one stage or another. And it's about how you navigate the rocky road of those disagreements. Every family has them. There's no such thing as a perfect family. There's no such thing as a family who is not going to have arguments, especially amongst siblings. And the rivalry will only come in if a parent positions any of the children in the family as perceiving that they are more superior than the others. And so it's really about a parent equally loving their children, which is something most parents say is, you know, they do it by default. They love their children equally, but sometimes the attention given to children isn't equal. So what works really well, I mean, to just sort of counterbalance the rivalry that could occur, is to have individual time with each sibling and make sure that each sibling has time just with one parent at a time.
I suppose one of the things that you might worry about as a parent, maybe I speak for myself again, is I don't want to turn this into an individual therapy session for me.
I won't charge you.
But is that this level of conflict is going to affect their relationship later in life? But I suppose the thing is, you know, children grow, evolve, mature. They might remember it, but they might not hold it against one another.
Well, that, you know, it depends on the situation. Now, I want to tap into the subject of resilience. I'm very passionate about building resilience. And as far as I'm concerned, tough things and dealing with tough things builds resilience. And resilience is the ability to deal with stress. And let's face it, when you're living in the same household with a sibling who's irritating the heck out of you and who might be taking your stuff or stealing your attention from mom or dad or getting more attention, it can be quite tricky, and resilience is the key. So it's about how are you going to build your children up to realize, well, conflict is part of life and it's how you navigate that. So it, you know, it's never going to stop, but it can be navigated successfully. It's actually pretty easy when you have the tools and the skills and the language within your family to understand each other.
Well, thank you, Donna. I will be trying some of those techniques.
I'll do a check-in with you next month.
Well, and it's kidslifestudio.com?
Yes, that's right.
If people want to find out more about your work. And yes, we'll continue this conversation in a month or so's time. We'll talk about conflict resolution.
Lovely. I look forward to that.
Ties in nicely with that. Thank you, Zelna, very much. Lovely
to see
you again.
Thank you so much, Lee.